Amen. Excellent thoughts this morning. As I was mentally this morning preparing for this service, my mind drifted into the armor of God, and I thought I was going to be using that. But then it drifted back to what I had already on my heart. And so the Lord shows us that there's different ways of looking at the scriptures. I enjoyed what I heard already about the armor of God. Why did God give us this armor? Why did the Lord give it to us? Why? We can ask why several times, but I hope what we'll come to is the fact that He loves us. And so, He has given us what we need to protect us. He has given us what we need because He knows we need it. All of those answers were good, but He did it because He loved us. So, can you see God's love in the armor of God? Have your loins girt about with truth. Where's love in that? I'm not saying there's not there. I'm saying think about it. Every piece of this armor you can see in some fashion represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay? So when we think about then the truth or the armor of God and how God gave it to us because He loves us, I want to notice some of the verses of Scripture that speaks about His love for us. And maybe if I got the mind to do so, we might relate it from time to time to the armor. But first of all, 1 John 4 and 10. 1 John 4 and 10 says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We spoke about, or we mentioned propitiation last week. Propitiation, what's that? That's a big word. What does it mean? You remember? It means He gave Himself. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. That was propitiation. That was what, when Christ did what His work on the cross, then He gave Himself for us. Okay? Propitiation. So what did John say? 1 John 4 and 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, I see that as being equal to John 3:16. We hear John 3:16 a lot. For God so loved the world, what was His motivation for sending His Son? Because He loved us. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Without His Spirit, we would never love God. I don't care how well you present the gospel. I don't care how much you read the tracts and the literature and the Bible and all. Without the Spirit of God, we would never love Him. That's why 1 John 4:19 says we love Him because He first loved us. And He loved us and He sent His Spirit into our hearts, enabling us to cry, Abba, Father. We have the Spirit within us calls out to God, our Father. Without His Spirit, we'd never call insincerity, we would never call upon him as our Father. We'd never call upon him in a loving way without his Spirit. Herein is love. All right, so when you extend that a little bit, you find that this armor that God has given us was out of his love. All that he's done for us is because he loves us. Okay? So that speaks of what God has done for us. Let's do it. Let's notice another one. John 15:13. This tells about what Jesus, his work for us. Okay? See, God sent his son. It was his son who did the work, but God sent him to do that work. So we speak of the first one as God's work. This next one, Jesus' work for us. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What did Jesus do? He laid down his life. He didn't just tell us, he did it. You know, he didn't just say that's what you need to do, like Brother Kenneth pointed out. He did it. Now there's more to that verse. Doctrinally, all right, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what he did for us. But the verse goes on to say, and ye are my friends. If what? If ye do what I command you. And that doesn't mean that he will save you for heaven based on your obedience to him. What it's saying is, ye are my friends. We need friendship in this world. We need fellowship with God in this world. When we're raised and fashioned like unto the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have a perfect heart. We will have perfect desires. We will have a perfect voice that we can praise and adore him forever and ever. But right now, we have to work on it, don't we? But he's given us his Spirit. He's blessed us with his love. He's enabled us to love him. And so we can rejoice in the good news of the gospel. We can rejoice in the fact that he loved us and gave himself for us. He was the propitiation for our sins. And now we can express our love to him by keeping his commandments, by doing those things which are pleasing. And he said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. So that's our opportunity to show our love for God. Okay? And I'm thankful. You know, we've got an anniversary meeting coming up real soon. And I plan to say a little bit more about that later. But we need to be praying for it. Matter of fact, Wednesday night, we might even have some prayers for the meeting. But we need to be praying for it. That we can continue, that we who are here now, that we can continue to love God like our heritage, like those that have been gone before us. They love the Lord. We've known a lot of them, but this church has been around a long time. And just, by the way, I've got a list here. So I asked Sister Jennifer to give me a list of those of our members who have passed on since the sesquicentennial meeting, just 25 years ago. Yeah. Just that window. But that's the ones that most of us remember. 25 years ago. I might read the list in closing maybe, but the love that they had for the Lord, that they manifested, that they applied it in their life, that it was evident that they loved the Lord. They showed themselves to be the friends of Jesus. And today is our opportunity to continue to be those friends of Jesus. We are, by his grace, part of his elect family. We are by his grace redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are by his grace saved from our sins. So let's live like it. Let's show the world whose child we are. We do that every day by our choices. So may our choices reflect our love for the one that loved us and gave himself for us. The one that laid down his life for his friends. The one that, I believe it was Peter, that in Acts, he says, "For there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." The Lord Jesus. Here's another text that speaks of the love, and I've already touched on this. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. You see, there's a pattern here. It shows us that God reached down to where we were. He didn't invite us to come to where he is. He reached down to where we were, because without his Spirit, we'd never have any interest in seeking God. We love him because he first loved us. So the question is, do you love God? Do you? If you do, you're the happy recipient of his grace. You're the happy recipient of the benefits of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being shed on your behalf. Whether you ever heard the gospel, whether you ever responded to the gospel, whether you ever believed the gospel, by grace we are saved. And by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is what paid our sin debt. Amen. Now, should you obey the gospel? Absolutely. Should you believe God's word? Absolutely. But he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:12, 2:13. He enables us, if we're his child, he enables us to do that. Now let's do it. You know, Jesus, I need to do a search someday to find out how many times Jesus made the point that it's not just the hearing. You know, and James, and the Apostle James speaks about that a lot too. It's not just the hearers of the word, but the doers. That's how James put it, all right? But Jesus said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, that's the wise man. Okay? All right. So we love him because he first loved us. Now, his love is what provides the energy for us to exercise faith. You know, he gives us faith in the new birth. But remember, Brother Kenneth mentioned the apostles when they were in that ship. And if you look at the different accounts of that, you'll find that what's recorded about what Jesus said to those apostles is a little different. You know, one time he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Okay. Another time he says, "Where is your faith?" They had it, but where is it? And you know, that's the point I'm driving at here. Where is it? Are we manifesting that love that God has given to us that enables us to love him? The energy of faith is love. Now, I need to enlarge on that a little bit. It's not just love. I mean, he's given us love because he gave us his Spirit. And fruit of the Spirit, the first thing is love. Okay? So that when we manifest the love for God, that's a fruit of the Spirit, that he has given us his Spirit and enabled us to love him. But when we think about in Galatians chapter 5, he says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Faith which worketh by love. And you look at the definition of that word worketh there, and it has reference to the energy of faith is love. All right? We have it from God, but we have to work on manifesting it. Okay? I hope I'm getting that point across. If we're so busy in this world that we're not thinking about God, we're not thinking about his mercy, we're not thinking about his grace, we might not be manifesting our love as much as when we are very thankful and when we feel like that we've been delivered from our sins and when we realize how much that God loves us and what he has done in providing for our salvation. So the more we keep these things in memory, Paul said to the Corinthian church, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. So there is a salvation, not for heaven. There is a salvation from getting caught up in the things of this world and putting too much of our heart into those things. There is a salvation in hearing and receiving and standing upon the truth, upon God's righteousness, upon the righteousness of Christ that's been imputed to us. When we remember those things, we're thankful to him for what he's done for us. The work of the Father for us, the work of the Son for us, and the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing it to us and causing us to be quickened from a death in sins to a life in Christ. And in all of that, and there's more to this, but in all of that, he's given us the armor of God. A Facebook friend of mine posted the other day that she stepped on the scale that morning and she said, boy, this armor of God is heavy. I contend that our burdens are heavy, but his yoke is light. Isn't that what he said? Taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? And having done all, stand. It doesn't add to our weight. He helps us. He is the armor. He protects us. He loves us. He defends us. He's there. We just need to remember to take the whole, that's the whole lesson, by the way. He gives us what the armor is, but he says, put it on. Put on, in other words, how do you do that, by the way? It's not a physical set of armor, like Brother Ken said. So how do you put it on? You got to remember it. You got to think about it. It's a spiritual warfare. So to put it on, you need to remember your need for the Lord. You need to remember the help that we have from God. You need to remember that anything we face, he is able to deliver us. We need that armor, don't we? It's a wonderful lesson. We need to get real acquainted with it. Because Christ is all we need. And he's ours. If we have a love for him. All right? There's also, when our love is strong, when our love for the Lord is strong, you know, when we get distracted, our heart sometimes cools off a little bit. Doesn't mean it's not there, but we cool off, we get distracted, we get too involved in the things of this world. We don't feel the love as much as we do when we're remembering it, when we're thanking God for it, and when we're realizing our need of it. Okay? But that perfected love, when love is strong and when it's having its effect, it casts out fear. There's things that can happen in this world that'll just grip you with fear. It'll paralyze you. That's when we need to flee to Jesus. Get under that armor. Flee to him. 1 John 4. Again, I'm in 1 John 4 a lot this morning. He says 4:18. Remember, we talked about 4:19. Let's back up a verse. 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. Right? 4:18 says there's no fear in love. For perfect love casteth out fear. 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casteth out fear. In other words, when our love for the Lord is strong, those fears, they're there. They still affect us. I'm not going to say that it doesn't. But what I am going to tell you is that you can deal with it a whole lot better when you realize you've got all the help. And I mean that. Literally, you've got the help that you need. It doesn't always change the circumstance. But it helps you deal with it. That's what we need. Someday, this life's going to be over. And we won't need help for fears. We won't need help for our troubles. We won't need those things anymore. But we're not there yet. We need it right now. We need the help of the Lord right now. And another wonderful thing about God's love is that we can never be separated from it. I'm talking eternally. We can get distracted. We can get into disobedience. We can do things that interrupts our fellowship with God and peace with God. But there is nothing you can do to sever God's love for you. And that just sets some people on their ear. It's almost like you're just telling them you don't have to love. What I'm saying is what God has provided. The love that God has is forever. He doesn't love us one day and then throw us away to the next. That's what the world does. That's what the devil wants to do. When God set his love upon somebody, it's set. It's better than concrete. All right? All right, Romans chapter 8. That wonderful chapter, Romans chapter 8, when you get down to the end of it, when he talks about all the things that cannot separate us from God's love, he said, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, I'm talking about all those things that cannot separate us from God. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. If he left out anything, he's saying, listen, nor any other creature. That the original language right there is actually a legal term that speaks of, that's a, in the legal profession, they call it a catch-all. If I left anything out, this will cover it. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All right? So as wonderful as the love of God is, and he's blessed us with it, and we rejoice in it, we also can rejoice in the fact that we can never be separated from it. Never finally be separated from the love of God. Isn't that wonderful? There's a lot of people that don't see that truth, but that's what the Word of God says. And so when we see God's love, part of what the reason he gave us the armor is because he loves us and he would provide for us, and he gave us all of those things. The righteousness, it's not our righteousness, it's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19, he says, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Okay? And hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation, or the message of reconciliation. In other words, when we preach the gospel, we're not offering reconciliation. We're preaching the word of it. We have been reconciled by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can rejoice in that. He finished that work perfectly. All right? So when we think about all of this that God has done, in providing the armor is out of his love. And these truths that I'm preaching this morning are not anything new. They've been in the Bible for us as long as we've had the Word of God. It's manifested in the Word itself that God loved us before the foundation of the world. And so it teaches us his will and what he has done. And I bring it up to that point because this is not anything new. These glorious truths, there have been people in this church rejoicing in those fundamental truths of the gospel. Well, this church has been here 175 years, okay? But it didn't start then. God's people have been embracing these wonderful truths all down through time. Whether they were put into a whether they were worded in articles of faith or whether they were just lived out by those saints of old. Bless your hearts, these truths, it's nothing new. It's the old truths. It's what God told us from the beginning. It's what still feeds our souls every day. And I pray that these same truths will continue to be preached till Jesus, well, I know that his work gospel will be preached somewhere. I pray that it'll be preached here. You know, churches, sometimes churches come and go. Sometimes doors close. Within a radius of 20 miles from here, there's probably a dozen churches or more that we could come up with that have closed their doors. I don't have the answers for why those particular bodies closed. I just know that we've got to stay on the foundation of God's word if we're going to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we get off the foundation, we might still meet together as a body of people. But if we want to claim to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, these fundamental truths that the Bible, and I may feebly describe some of them, but what the Bible says is where we stand. The truth. That's our safety. That's where we want to be. When we observe our 175th anniversary, I don't intend for it to be always looking back. I want to appreciate, I want to acknowledge some of our heritage. I want to be thankful for it because their faithfulness is why we still have it today. Now, you know what I'm talking about. If we cease to be faithful, this church could go out of existence. The truth is still with us, and the truth will still be preached somewhere. I just hope that it'll continue to be preached here. I hope that there'll be those that'll take the baton and run with it here so that our children and our children's children and our children's children's children can still enjoy what we have. We've been blessed wonderfully. We're being blessed wonderfully. Do you realize, I've mentioned this to some of you after services, I think, but do you realize that 10 years ago, there were no little children in our congregation? Zero. Do you know, we started praying about that. I'm not claiming this myself, I'm saying we. We realized that. We started praying about that. And now there's over 15 that have come into the picture since then. Hallelujah. How wonderful that God has blessed. He's not left us alone. You know, that's the worst thing he could do. Just leave us alone. He's not left us. He's continued to bless us. He's blessed us in the past with some wonderful, wonderful saints. And what we can say here, there's churches all over the country that can say the same thing about their congregations. I'm not saying we're anything special, although I think we are pretty special. By the grace of God. By the blessing of God. Listen, he gets all the glory. We're just the happy recipients of what he's done for us. Time's gone. Would you like to hear the list? Would you like to hear the list of those who were so faithful for so many years? That since I say you're, because I wasn't here, I attended the sesquicentennial meeting. I wasn't the pastor then, but Thomas was. But I was well acquainted with this church 25 years ago. We got a whole list of people who are no longer here, but they put on the armor of God. They wore it. They wore it, I'm going to use the word proudly. I'm proud of my Savior. I'm proud of my Lord. I'm not proud of the way I've followed him sometimes, but I'm thankful. I rejoice that he's blessed us to know and to love him. Very quickly here. And this is not, you know, this is not just to be sentimental. This is a reminder of those who've been faithful, those who have loved the Lord and put it into practice in their lives. That I hope we can do the same. But just by way of remembrance, Sister Beatrice Bond, Sister Jennifer pointed out, and I realized I was a little surprised that was not longer than 25 years. But Sister Beatrice, many of you knew these folks all your life. Brother Billy Bond, Brother Charles Bond, Sister Doris Bond, Brother Eldon Bond, Brother Elvin Bond, Sister Jemima Bond. There's a lot of Bonds there, isn't it? Sister Jemima Bond, Brother Sam Bond, Brother Willie Bond, Sister Geraldine Carter, Sister Guinevere Hall Davidson, Sister Jane Edgerton, Brother Roy Hall, Brother Laszlo Colonis, Brother Austin Leach, Sister Kumai Messer, Brother Tommy Ryan, Brother Edsel Woodham, and Sister Edsel Erlene Woodham. Just the mention of those names. There may be others who were closely associated with us, maybe not on the church roll or whatever. Maybe those came to mind. Some of these folks lived hard lives. Some of them had great challenges in their lives. But they remained faithful to God. Paul would say in Hebrews 12, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We've got the Old Testament of a great cloud of witnesses. But we've also got the folks that we've known. Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God loves us. He's continued to show us his love. He's shown us his love for many years. May God help us to reflect that love, continue to show that love. May God help us to love him enough that we put on the whole armor, that we're trusting him, that we're seeking his help in every need we have, because he is able to supply our every need. When you start thinking about all the Lord's done for you, it stirs up your love for him. It stirs up your thanksgiving, your gratitude. It stirs up why we should be living to his honor, because he's done so much for us. May God bless you. It's our prayer.